Wolf Spirit Radio, No Borders Radio, and everbeyond.info. Be prepared to leave your belief systems behind as we go beyond teachers, beyond gurus, beyond duality, ever beyond, 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 beyond. Sunday, 3rd of August, 2014. Good afternoon, good evening, and welcome to Ever Beyond on Wolf Spirit Radio and everbeyondradio.com. Did it again. Oh well, never mind. Welcome anyway. It's been quite a week, I have to say, as you might imagine. As Kim was explaining in the last program, we've been I've been handed the trust. I've been handed the trust, and so that's what Wolf Spirit Radio will become, and already is, and we're cooperating with each other in order to keep it going and make something of it, probably, rather than just being Dave's hobby. It might kind of be like a starship. It really does feel like he's built like a starship in his backyard and given me the keys. You know, it's like, oh, here you go. It's got lots of rooms and places that I haven't explored. So there's a whole team of us exploring the TARDIS, perhaps. So thank you, everybody, for being for supporting me in the last week. We've had time to take some space and grieve, but not completely. There's still a few stresses, and you know, that will happen. But we're trying to get everybody to get along, and we're all working cooperatively in order to get things done. So we've got the PayPal and the donations button all working, we're getting the email list sorted out. That's taken quite a while because it's a big job, believe it or not. Actually, it's a job that I used to do, I haven't touched it because I wanted to delegate it. That's one of the things. But there's so many little jobs that need doing and keeping appraised of. So I'll do my best to keep spreading the team, and every time I find there's a hole, I'll express, and it'll become there'll be work for somebody. I've got lots of ideas. There's lots of ideas being downloaded from Dave himself, and I think that's the thing, is that Dave is not really gone, and he's more or less, he's like more than he's been. So we can speak to him and about him, and perhaps sometimes he might be able to come through and speak for himself. But my guest today, where I'm getting around to, is her name is Mary Traeger. She's not appeared on any radio shows, I don't think, so much before. We've been having a correspondence, and I'd like to bring her on today. She's a bit nervous, but don't worry, you're among friends, and you're among family, really. I'd like to welcome you to Ever Beyond. Hello, Mary.
Hi, JP. Thanks for having me.
You're very welcome. You're very welcome. One of the things that happened is a couple of days ago, we were sort of booked to have you on the show for quite a while, and you came on Skype and said, you got some messages, and it I've been hearing from various other psychics and mediums who just happen to be part of the station as well that, you know, they're all getting it. They're all getting messages from Dave, and they're all saying, you know, oh, yes, you know, he's handing the station over to you, and blah, blah, blah. And, you know, you're doing a great job, JP, and all this stuff. But the message that you got from Dave really stood out. It totally stood out, because you're not in contact with anybody else.
You're breaking up a little.
Am I? Because, I'll say that again, your message stood out because you're not in contact with anybody else in the station or anything like that. You're completely kind of independent, but Dave has managed to find an inroad. And so it's with great honor that I welcome you on to Ever Beyond.
Oh, well, it's a great honor for me. Thank you, sir. I'm really pleased that, you know, everything's unfolding as it should, and you're at the helm. What did I hear from Dave? He says, well, he wouldn't have handed you the controls if he didn't think you could do the job. He was just kind of adamant about that.
How did Dave, first of all, kind of make his presence felt? Did you recognize it at first? Did he come up and say, "Hi, I'm Dave"? What happened? Were you just washing, doing some washing up or something?
Oh gosh, well, before I was sending that email to you that didn't go through right away, after I heard of his transition, I was just sort of thinking about him and was just kind of focusing my thoughts in that direction. And I think it was within 24 hours, my thoughts came around. I don't know what came first, my thinking of him or his thoughts intruding on me, but it was like, well, I'm still here. I'm not going anywhere. I'm pretty happy I can talk to everybody at the same time. It's pretty cool. And that had happened with another acquaintance of mine who had passed a couple years ago. And I didn't know him that well either, but I had met him face to face. And it's like, I could feel and hear his energy very uniquely, and he kind of said the same thing. It was, wow, man, it's really cool. I can talk to everybody at the same time, and it's really pretty cool up here, you know? And he was sort of like a New York hippie. Anyway, so that was interesting that Dave had the same impression that, wow, yeah, it's a multidimensional thing happening here. I can be everywhere at once. And then I was like, yeah. And well, I'm the same person. I got the same resolve and energy, and this is, you know, it's interesting when you're getting impressions because I get the feeling, I get the intent, you know, and not necessarily exact words. So his intent was like, well, yeah, I'm ready to keep going here. I'm going to be overseeing you guys and helping out. You know, I want to see this wolf spirit thing fly. No pun intended. And JP's the man to do it. And don't you guys worry about anything. All that other details and whatever going on, just put that aside. Just focus on what you want to do with the radio show. We got a lot of, he felt there's a lot of people that are ready to speak the truth very clearly, concisely, and no fooling around. He's like a no fooling around kind of guy, I guess. And, like that. It's interesting because when I sent you that letter, I just started writing you the letter, right, the email. And I was explaining how I was getting an impression about Dave, and he just jumped right in at that point, and he just inserted his words. into that email. And I guess it sounded like him to you, huh?
He had a slightly different accent, but it may be a result of I can't remember you, Dave, saying y'all very much, but mm-hmm. maybe you did not at the weekends. Maybe he only said y'all. He says y'all on the weekdays, but there was maybe he's gone off country. I don't know. So the message is consistent.
It was kind of his humor.
Yeah, I know, but the message is consistent with what others have been saying, and in a way, it had a lot more detail. It was a finer resolution, let's put it that way. So, it's a good exercise of impression, and so, I just want to thank you for having that level of impression and being able to express it like that. That's something that I'd like to see, hear about and enjoy more of in the future.
Right, the future, yes. And I think he kind of sees the future, and he's really positive about it. He's feeling rather robust and eager to, keep everything on track and keeping all the wheels turning, it seems. And so he really liked, I think I mentioned, what did I say? I said, that you two had talked about things, and he said that it was better for it to come from you anyway than better than what he could have done. Did that make sense to you?
He and I we've been talking for years about it's kind of like the way the internet is organized, is that you have multiple producers. So if one goes down, the call can just immediately go to another, and so that the thing can be continuous, and that indeed that we just do that and have that happening all the time. It's a bit like changing phase frequencies on the shields on Star Trek or something like that. Mm-hmm. But a moving target is hard to hit.
Yeah, he's just positive. Really just very, excited, but highly energized about the future with you and the radio show. Oh.
Are you getting impressions right now, by the way?
Well, I just got get JB to tell you about the time we discussed a different platform and how there's a new aspect. Is it Skype? Skype or some other similar hosting program that will enable you to more easily do this sort of kind of dimensional platform that you had talked about with him.
Dimensional platform? Go on.
Well, as you said, having more than one producer and have them ready to, have a backup plan at any time. I guess that's what he means by dimensional.
Ah, right, a multi-dimensional approach in that, it's what we also call holographic approach, which is like everybody knows everything. Everybody has all the information, so they don't need to wait for somebody else to tell them how to do something that everybody knows. And so it's like if everybody's in a basketball team, everybody knows what to do with the ball when they handled it. So you just toss the ball over and you don't have to worry after the ball has gone out of your hands. That, I think, is probably the nub of the feeling that we want to have.
Right, he said.
Is that right?
Yeah, don't worry about... It's like that quote, don't sweat the small stuff, it's all small stuff. Don't sweat the holographic stuff, it's all holographic. We're all, even as individuals, becoming more aware of our multidimensional selves, that also we're going to realize is going to be our approach to everything we do. We'll become more aware of the effect in a beyond 3D way, that the sound frequencies alone of voices will be affecting and combining with like frequencies from without, from where they're at and from where we are, and just keep strengthening this crystalline-like structure of communication. Throwing a fastball of fire through a wormhole into another universe and having it come around and you catch it like a boomerang. Why would I say that? That was pretty far out.
Throwing a ball of fire through a wormhole and catching it on the way back. That's great. Yeah. Thanks. That's a great one.
Yeah. He's got a lot of interesting pictures to send up there. He wish he could download them, but he might. People might find interesting pictures as metaphors for what he's trying to convey. But he says, really felt, he wanted everybody to know that despite everything he's been through and his challenges, he wouldn't have changed a thing. That it was all very, very important. Anybody that heard about it, it triggered their expansion, their memories, or their reaching out to that reality. He says you can't imagine just by sharing stories and having these past, present, future experiences, these multidimensional experiences, how many people it affects, how much of realities it affects, and it's all just the way it needs to be, because as you said, it's a holographic, it's always perfect. And though we are choosing these experiences, it is a way to slingshot us into our future reality, not just individually in our own higher frequencies, but humanity as a whole, galaxy as a whole, and all the other intelligent entities that have been part of this whole play. Because he said it is like a play. And not to focus too much on the sad face and the drama, because the opposite is equally powerful. And actually the love vibration is the most powerful, and that's what's coming through clearer and clearer. But it's the depth of feeling and experience that we have and integrate and process and have compassion for with ourselves and others that gives us the depth of feeling for the opposite of this huge wave of love coming out from inside us the same time as it's being attracted outside of us. Does that make sense?
This is incredible. You know, people are, you know, Kosh is in the chat room saying, well, that's quick, David. I thought it took a while to acclimatize. And, well, my response is, we don't muck about here at Wolf Spirit Radio. with the spirit side and the wolf side, you know, swift and fierce and here. Dave's only spent a week away off air, so here we go. This is brilliant. So, but yes,
yeah, you're saying
multiple times.
Catch up,
go
folks.
Ahead.
You're saying, yeah, catch up, folks.
Now that sounds like Dave.
Yeah, get out of the stick, he says.
Get out of the stick.
Right. You know, mucking about. Yeah, but oh wow, yeah. He says you guys are acting like a bunch of old grandmas and grandpas wanting to sit in your rocking chair. He says it in a nice way.
I know, but he's now not limited by the age problem, or in fact the being in one place problem. So, you know, there are what's the word? Swings and roundabouts. What's the word? Trade-offs on all dimensions. Wow.
Right.
So, I guess that when I speak, that kind of builds up another kind of sort of set of transmissions. So, is that happening, or is it kind of quieting down again?
Well, he says you're coming in loud and clear, and yes, all wavelengths.
Broadcasting. Actually, I want to do that. I want to. I do, in fact, have a small FM transmitter that is transmitting this, because it's only for my house, though, because it's for the headphones, for my cordless headphones. But you never know who might be able to pick up a very, very, very weak signal. You never know. So
mm-hmm. He goes, you might be surprised.
Yeah, and that sounds like Dave. One of Dave's early catchers is, how very astute of you. Excellent.
Indeed.
Indeed. Well, so it's been a hard day's week. We have been sweating quite a bit, and actually what I'm learning quite a lot, you know, that there are places where you apply effort, and sometimes it's like you recognize when that effort means that it's not time to do that, or whether it's an effort that you need to overcome. That's always a good discernment that one needs to have.
Yeah, you broke up a little bit there around the term sweating.
Sweating the big stuff, sweating the small stuff.
Right. Yeah, he really doesn't want you to sweat the small stuff, you know. Time will pass, and you're pretty good at picking out and prioritizing what's important and what's not important at this time. You know, you're pretty good about leaving things on the back burner but not letting them burn.
Keeping the tabs open on the browser, yeah.
Right. And just don't anticipate and expect anything too negative, because this is time when you're more able, when you have freaking great expectations. And you don't want to dwell on a, you know, other negative possibilities. That's the hard part for all of us, I think, because, you know, we're some of our experiences, and if we've had, and you know, we remember a lot of negative ones or things that really didn't help us at all, put it mildly, it's hard to remember that, well, we can project what we'd like, even though we may not have had that experience. Someplace in us, in our imagination, gives us the impetus to even want to think about something wonderful, something great, and do that as much as you can, you know, speak it. The vibration now is more powerful than ever to have that manifest and have that return for you. It's like you can throw a ball much farther in the air when it's not raining.
Good one.
Oh, that's pretty good.
Yeah.
Good advice. I should follow that.
But it's true, because, you know, you think, oh, we're an internet radio truth station and we're going to be under attack from the NSA and all of that stuff. But it might actually not be happening because we may be like the opposite of being under attack. We may be being helped because it may be that there is a section of the NSA who are actually good guys. And that the bad guys are all getting rounded up, and probably Dave is part of the team that is helping, you know, get them out of the way.
Oh, yeah, he said he's got quite a team with him. They're rounding up is a good term. I think in that email I said I saw him, like, with a lasso, and he was, like, rounding up bits and pieces of
Corralling is the word used, which is a really good word, like being a proper cowboy. We've been talking, you know.
Exactly.
Frank Jordan will be over in the next hour, and I will see what Stephen, which is his higher self, is going to say, because Frank is an old cowboy, and so corralling and lassoing and stuff like that, that would be would really relate to him. He'll love that.
Yeah, right. He was... his team's been busy corralling and rounding up bits and pieces of timelines or people's experiences that they've kind of got broken away from them temporarily. Because I guess the ones that have been trying to know the future in order to bend reality their way, and not for, you know, good, loving purposes, you know, they don't know what they're doing, of course. You know, they're not doing it from a point of love and heart and higher wisdom. So, you know, it's like letting kids into the lab when the teacher's out, you know. They're bound to mess up stuff. So they're kind of like, he says, gathering these bits and pieces for people so they can, as their frequency, and it's everybody's frequency is increasing, everybody's, that they'll be able to, as they go around, and follow that fastball of flame through the wormhole of multiple universes, find easily the frequency of those parts that are part of them and integrate them again. Because they'll be lit up. He's keeping the home fires burning, he says. Right now. Yeah, well, he's fired up, that's for sure.
And indeed, I just went away to the kitchen to indeed keep the home fire burning and making sure that there's logs in the stove. I think that's what he was actually referring to.
where he went. Yes.
Yeah, real time, real time. Nice one, Dave. Hope you're not watching me and Nikki. You better not me. Anyway.
Oh, you betcha, he says.
She's not going to be pleased with that.
Yeah, don't worry.
we'll see what she says in the chat room in a couple of minutes. Because anyway. So
no.
Because, you know, sometimes we joke that we're in some sort of cosmic reality TV show, right? That my life is like a kind of comedy show on some reality TV channel in,
yeah,
you know, Solar Galactic Channel 347.
Right. Yeah, that's what I think I said to you in the chat yesterday. I feel like I'm in some kind of reality show of cosmic consciousness. Will the participants, will they raise their frequency enough and create the reality they want before the end of the show? Who will be eliminated? Let's find out.
Meanwhile, in another dimension, this is quite a fascinating thing. Last week I had, it was a couple of weeks ago, I had the guest Veronica Keane, who is the husband, the widow of Montague Keane, who is still contacting her from the other side and telling her all
about
the
Yeah, I had a chance to listen to another one.
Yes. So this is maybe this will be a regular feature. You know, we're talking, it's like a cross-dimensional month or something like that, or maybe mm-hmm. this type of show. Wouldn't it be cool for cross-dimensionals to have a mouthpiece? You know, people can give lectures.
Most certainly, it'd be quite the conference.
I just got Wolf Baby's response, which is a stay out, old scoundrel. Oh, bless your heart, Dave. So this is quite a fascinating thing. I don't know if it's been done on live radio before, that the owner has left his body and come back a week later and, you know, making sure everything's micromanaged well, and, you know, the service.
Exactly.
This is quite a moment in time and history. In a way, it's like, you know, partly we need to be able to scientifically prove the etheric realm, and by having cross-dimensional lectures, that might be an inroad into seeing what's going on. I mean, I suppose we've had that before. People have been doing this for quite a long time, since psychic societies and things like that. I'm talking to spirits and so. Has Dave said enough? And are the peas?
What did you say a moment ago? Well, he was saying micromanage. You have no idea how fine a point of micromanagement I can get now from my point of view.
I know. Oh yeah, he's gonna love it. He's gonna totally love it. He's right in his element. Come and incarnate again, yeah. So
he'll make so many coincidences and synchronicities around you'll make your head spin.
Well, I could get used to it. I could certainly get used to that life. It's already been happening, and is getting more and more intense, and more like almost usual. Like, you get so used to it, you kind of come to expect it. And in a way, that's 5D, and you're no longer worrying about stuff, and you're experiencing 5D as you know, you're experiencing life as a creator manifester.
And it's fun. The feeling with it is really expansive and really just fun, isn't it?
Yes, indeed. So I'm just going to say to the chat room, any questions? Because Kosh in the chat room is saying, is this a two-way communication? And I mean, basically, if Dave can be in all places at once, he can certainly be with the listeners that we have. And if you want to communicate with him, he will perhaps respond to you in now or when it's an appropriate time. You might have a question that might need a different answer. But I put any questions into the chat room just to see.
He says, yeah, go ahead, shoot. Just give Mary a chance to stretch her wings a little.
That's right. And by the way, how are you feeling, Mary? Are you sort of lightheaded or do you need drink? Do you need to drink water or anything?
No, I'm good. I'm sitting in a wooden chair, the sheepskin on it. It's not the most comfortable, but I'm pretty relaxed. I've got my pink calcite in my left hand, and even though my candle went out, I'm feeling pretty good.
All right. Okay, so we do have questions here. And the first question is from Nikki, Wolf Baby. What is it like where you are?
Well, I'm not going to say that.
I can imagine what he just said. Tourette's sort of.
He was making it, well, Nikki, what is it like for you and JP after a rousing session?
we never do that sort of stuff, you know.
I'm sorry.
Bless your heart.
Yeah, he's pretty he's quite the character and quite the humorist in a sort of rowdy way. And so forgive me if I get words and impressions that I might be hesitant on sharing. But he said it's very wonderful. It's like you know what you said about, you know, this being one of the favorite soap operas in the galaxy to watch. He goes, well, yeah, you're right. And now we get a front row seat.
Great.
Mm-hmm. It's like I see there's like about, how many of you up there? It's about, gosh, he's got a whole team. He's got anywhere from 8 to 12 other guys and gals. And they're like all dressed up in like almost like old-timey cowboy gear. Except with special technologies at hand. Not that they really need anything, you know, physical or, but they are like metaphors for what they can do now. When they want to keep the airways clear, move, keeping that golden grid shining brightly, putting consciousness in people who are open to it in areas where they can strengthen that grid from the ground. He says it's important to now use your skills, now use your tools. You know, have the ones that know how to plant those shiny beams of light in those ley lines, in those places of disorder. Have them do that. Make a plan, man, he says. Start constructing the scaffolding for the earth you want. You've got a lot of people with a lot of skills here.
That's right. And we have, you know, in the last show, we have Kimmery Running Drum Tater, who is a carrier of a crystal skull that she's that is just pouring stuff out, and she's really into the law and legalese and all of these things and understanding all that. So that's going to be a real boost to have somebody who understands that, because people can try to confuse people with legalese. It's good to have it's like having,
and if you know more about it,
yeah, it's like having a law talker, like having a ghost talker, you know, you've got a law talker. Kind of thing.
So use fire, fight fire with fire. The more you know, the more you can turn it on themselves. They don't expect you to be smart enough to go back and say, oh, by the way, this law was enacted at this time and it's never been changed. And you know what? I'm going to bring up my right to use this law right now. And don't even think about trying to throw anything in my way about requesting to come on land and this or that. Just go back to the basics. Go back to laws that were started during the time of the Constitution. In other countries' constitution. Investigate that. Start simple. Go to the basics. See, understand the laws then. And see the ones that are still standing. You'll find pillars of truth that cannot be touched. And use that.
Brilliant.
I'm getting goosebumps.
Okay, so we've got loads of questions now. This is from Kosh. Did you have a life review? What was your life review like?
I didn't catch all that.
What was your life review like?
What, Dave's?
Yes.
He goes, well, you're asking kind of personal questions now, aren't you?
Was it a good movie? Did you enjoy it?
It had its moments.
Very Dave.
It's got a happy ending, though.
Oh, yes. Bless. Very happy.
It happens in a moment. You become aware of all of yourselves, every experience, and how it affects you, how it affects everybody, but in such a holistic, loving way, there's no room for judgment. It's just now a coming together of awareness, how your little tiny marble of being is now part of this other big marble. Or he says he liked my analogy about the disco ball of Earth, that everybody is a humanity is all, we're all one little piece of a disco ball, a faceted mirror that has to connect to the next piece on all sides, and we're all important, and we all see a slightly different view, but we're all connected to the light, to the truth. So every experience is important. And then we get to see all that. It's really pretty glorious. It's pretty mind blowing, he says.
Does he actually say, he used to use the phrase mind boggling? My mind is completely boggled. He would always say that.
Well, maybe that's what he was trying to say. Mind. He goes, well, it's beyond boggling. Yeah.
Ever beyond, Dave. Ever beyond. So, this is quite incredible. So, live today from the other side, Dave. Yeah. So, okay. So, Wolf Baby. How's that over there? All right. So, she first of all asks about. Can you tell us about spiritual beings? What is, I don't know exactly what she means by spiritual beings. That, I mean, presumably she's referring to beings that he's meeting where he is, that he couldn't meet where we are.
Mm-hmm. He goes, yeah, they're all here. What do you want to know? You're a spiritual being too. It's because they're not boots on the ground, and they do respect us for the work we're doing down here, because they need us. And that's why they help. We all have to ascend. They have to ascend. It's because they're a spiritual meaning doesn't mean there's no room for improvement. They have stuff they're working on too. And yeah, some of the groups, there is a little karma involved here with Earth. And they know it. And because they can't be down here in the 3D to interact with that fine sensory depth of feeling that humans can, because that is our ultimate power and gift, they try to assist as much as they can from where they're at. And they know they're not perfect. And they know they're not angels. Though he would say our higher selves, our highest selves, the part of us that was created closest to source energy when everything occurred, those are our angels. They are our highest self. And it's easier for us to see and think of them as icons with names, because names have a vibration. And we integrate that with that part of ourselves that had that experience. But some of the off-planet races, they are as diverse as we are, even the ones coming from one place or star, not necessarily a planet. Many, of course, are non-physical intelligences, such as the peas. And they are very, the peas are very, much a part of, man's upbringing, development. But they understand that mistakes have been made. And now they are caught into that, as well as with other races, to right those wrongs. When you are in a place where you have achieved a dimensionality without the kind of depth of trauma that Earth has, your progress slows. You become, in a way, almost complacent to the fact that now you are a collective intelligence and you have a unity that crosses many galaxies, many dimensions, that they can move between as easily as thoughts from Dave to his friends. And their perspective is not talked about very much. But they want us to know our experience is necessary for all of them to be able to return to sourced energy, to go with that inhale and exhale of the universe of creation. And now, having being a part of humanity's growth and development, they are indeed very much committed to assisting guiding, offering wisdom through the heart in a way that inspires in us to take a step towards them more and more. They feel very bad about the suffering. And it is hard. So you see, it is something that they are aware of in a profound way and are learning from us because of our feelings. A way to expand their own consciousness as a whole, to encompass us and enfold us like great arms or wings of love, and to hold us and to show us their deep love is everything they want to do. Wow.
Well, thank you very much. Thank you. The questions are piling up. I'm gonna put a few questions together here. Number one, and actually, this is from Nikki, and she's saying, "Did you meet any of the cool dead musicians like Jimi Hendrix or Paul McCartney?"
Now you want the cosmic gossip as well.
Oh, yes.
Okay, yeah. Those ones are very inspired beings that are still inspiring others on Earth with their guided wisdom through music beautifully. They don't want to. They are multidimensional as well. And it might surprise you that they, even some of them, do still walk the earth, conscious of this fact. They may not use the same names, but they are using the same frequency through a creative effort of frequency and sound and love to gently inspire others with their message of independence, sovereignty, empowerment, and love. But we will not gossip about individuals.
Thank you. So, more questions. Swami and Ron is talking about his dogs. I mean, Dave was very much in love with his dogs and his wolves, and did he meet up as we imagined? I felt hurt very strongly, I think the answer is yes. Is that, you know, is he with his wolf pack as well?
Oh yes, they're quite content. However, now they are interested in exploring and sniffing their new environment and finding some very interesting things indeed. Even they have other selves in that realm of nature, spirit guidance that they can now interact with. And they do love Dave so much for helping them forgive mankind and to understand their relationship, help mankind understand the relationship they have with all of nature and all the dimensional beings of nature. And that's quite a gift. And they would howl. He says, if you thought they howled before at the moon, you should hear them now. But yeah, they're pretty happy.
Oh, that's lovely, because we, you know, we loved, we heard about the Herc and I can't remember some of the other names, terrible with names. But I definitely, you know, Herc was one of the first, and he was, you know, when, this is, can you talk about animals and when you focus love, when a human focuses love, it gives an animal consciousness and helps them evolve and wake them up. Is that true?
Animals have their own past, their own previous lives. And as humans, we can be inspired to wake our consciousness. As animals, the love helps heal all of their line as a species. And in that way, it directs energy consciousness to an entire group. So, if an animal is already in a place where, because of their past lives, they can now feel secure and compassionate, they indeed will show the human more symptoms of the beginning of a more conscious being. They are in touch with other species of themselves at night, especially, and see things we do not. And it may be their own family. We're not sure entirely, but because of human reverence to some species, when those species pass on, they do become more directed in the consciousness of those human focus groups, such as wolf packs as symbols, dolphins, whales, horses, eagles, ravens, all the native totem animals that have received this pointed energy over time and generations is united in that eternal circle of love and remembering and returning that power and enabling humans to experience the powerful earth reflection of energy through that species, that greatness, the courage, the expression of pure truth, creation, that is part of the earth's vibration. Do you understand?
I do. Thank you. Thank you. Wow. So many questions. Various questions about soul fragments. And that's another thing that that you were talking about in the first message that you got, about him corralling. Can you talk a little bit about fractured personalities and how we can work to bring them back together? Is that something that needs to be... Do we need help from the other side to do that? Can we do that ourselves? And how do we do that?
Living beings, you mean?
Yeah, sorry. We. We has suddenly expanded beyond beyond our realm. But yeah, I'm talking about incarnated beings. Recovering soul fragments.
When you say fractured personalities, do you mean being aware of one's multidimensional self, or perhaps sensing it in an acute way and not having the tools to integrate it through the heart?
That's one, yeah. I was also thinking in terms of people who had gone through Dave's life process of the mind control and how can I put this? The military mind control situation that he was involved in, and the altars. What happens to the altars?
They return to the mindset of those that create it. The one thing that those that have experimented in time delays don't realize is because of their intent, that which they cause, they have a direct responsibility for. And those others you speak of, their artificialness becomes part of those that started it, their etheric field, their own mess. And they're pretty messed up. We as source beings always have that spark in every single one of ourselves. Cells. And when we redirect our focus inward to that light, we can then integrate, remember, and with others' help, visualize all the parts that need to be regenerated or remembered or transmuted into even a higher being. We never go backwards. These souls are permanent. A lot of words that have been used are not accurate in soul talk of fracturing, separation, that in a way never occurs. This one is a little confused. She is having a hard time articulating, so please be patient. This is a intense, complicated subject for which she has herself experienced in her abductions. And yet, you would think she is whole. How else would she be able to receive a higher loving frequency? So you see, those that you want to help, of course you can heal. But expand your awareness and know that they are still perfect. They still have that soul-God connection at all times. Many new beings come into this world very sensitive, very aware of the many selves, S-E-L-V-E-S, that are available to them, and try to experience them in a world that does not accommodate multidimensional 3D beings. There are shamans who see these beings, see the common thread, that golden thread, and know how to tie them together and braid them into each cellular memory so they are not so fragmented externally. Appearance. Does this help?
It does. Many insights. Thank you. I think, well, would you like to take a quick break?
We will ask you continue for another 10 minutes. That will give us a chance to field perhaps some other less complicated questions and allow the present channel to ease away from our energy. But we will then be able to return in a more common ground.
Okay, some simple questions. So, Ron is asking about the kind of the death process. He's saying, did Dave find himself floating above the bed, and then where did he go to? Did he meet his wolf dogs? When he floated up, was the room golden amber in color? Did Dave go back to the one creator soul? You know, I'm asking them all at once because
they're curious
questions. So, would you like to talk a little
bit
about
gathering.
The process? It is a great gathering.
Well, that part of Dave that knew he was not going to be continuing on the earth, that part of him that already was on the other side, as you say, was present with him. And he knew, he had agreed upon, not perhaps consciously, months before to go through this process. But yes, you know, he is very stubborn and he won't back down from a challenge. Very tenacious. So your perspective was one of a tenacious soul holding on to a painful body. However, that part of him who was already ahead of him waiting, he was just becoming more and more connected to, conscious of. So it was like a ship at sea being guided by one in the bird's nest, seeing the shore. And then one on the shore seeing the ship come into view. As one saw the other, they were drawn. So there was no surprise. It was a rather easy transition. And he is sorry that others had to witness his stubborn, tenacious hold on a failing physical form. Sorry about that. If he could have done it a different way, he would have. It is what it is. So, because of his already off-planet experiences, his friends, he was already on board. So it was a great celebration, a great gathering, great party. He says, I wish you'd been able to be there. He doesn't want anyone to dwell on the pain of human transitioning. It's a dramatization. Things seen in the mirror may be more dramatic than they actually are. Don't get too blown away by that part of experience. It's a small part, you will find. Like he said, it was a great celebration and gathering. A part of him that had already experienced himself as a light body. It was very familiar. And he was surrounded by beings of love and light, his animals and those spirits. And he recognized them not necessarily as animals, they were like golden, tiny, golden comets, like ribbons of golden light whisking around him. Different golden lit rainbows rushing here and there. It was a delightful experience. And one that he would be glad to share if you just ask before you go to sleep at night. But he does want to get down to business. What was the other question?
It was about 19, I think. When you were... he was asking about the colour of the room when you floated up. And also, did Dave go to the one creator soul?
We all have that experience, yes. The color of the room changed. As the light changed, there's more light that comes into a room than what we see. And the presence and the love of the people and the thought forms in the room had color that was beyond description. And that brightest light of soul energy as his consciousness was now fully integrated, and he was aware of it, was the divine soul of creation, of course. It was not going up to, it was a realization that you are. When no longer connected to physical atoms, is that understood?
Understood, Captain.
You're in the captain now, brother.
Admiral. That's right. Admiral Corso. It's a bit like, you know, Star Trek when they are Kirk becomes an admiral. He wears the uniform and Sulu is the captain. Just feels like right. That. Yeah, I feel like Captain Sulu. maybe yes, not as gay. So, meanwhile, so would you like to take a break? I want to thank you so much for Dave for making this effort to contact us at this time. It's very, very, very comforting enlightening. And is this something that you'll be able to continue, or will you pass? How long are you going to be around for, Dave?
How high can you count there?
That'll do. So let's have a little break now. I need to stretch myself and make the tea, and I think everybody else does. This is a song that's been going through my head the last few days, so this is The Bangles. Eternal Flame, what else? And welcome back. 3rd of August, 2014. Wall Spirit Radio, Ever Beyond Radio.
No Borders Radio?
No, not yet. Yeah. Mary Traeger, we are having quite an historic time, I think. I don't think this has ever happened before, where what appears to be deceased is not diseased, but actually increased. It does talk about a sense, it speaks to us that death is not the end, nothing to be scared of. Resurrection, indeed.
Of course.
So.
Wow.
Now, a couple of weeks.
Heavy, man.
I'm sorry, my dear.
That was pretty, wow, that was pretty heavy. I've not done that before.
No. And indeed, you know, we're all being asked, as Dave said, indeed, in what your message, Dave said that we're going to be doing things that we've never thought about doing, that we've never considered ourselves being able to do, and they're going to happen. And that's certainly something that has happened to me. People ask me to do things, and I say, I've never done that before. I say, well, I'll give it a go, and suddenly it happens. If people believe that you can do something, you'll be able to do it. That's, you know, you see that in a lot of films. You know, somebody just needs somebody to believe in them, and then they become the hero.
Right.
So, a couple of weeks ago, a couple of weeks ago, we were just chatting about coming on the show and talking about the Pleiadians. I'm still interested because, you know, they were bubbling up as well, and I'm very conscious that they are.
Yeah, that was them.
I know everybody would love to hear more from Dave, but perhaps definitely we're going to do that more in the future. Maybe we'll all channel Dave. Dave Corso speaks through 15 people at once. That'd be cool. Anyway, so, Mary, we were talking about the Pleiadians, weren't we?
Well, I think that was them in that last bit of information. I mean, Dave was kind of letting them take charge there with those questions. They were kind of viewing his experiences and trying to answer some of those questions, but that was definitely them. Especially the ones about the fragmented personalities. I never really looked into that. That was a heavy one. So, he was sort of sitting back listening and letting them, you know, answer the tough stuff.
So, having had your cup of herbal tea, and
that's my cat.
Oh, because I thought, why are you making cat-like noises, Mary? Because it was in the is your cat from Sirius C by any way old fashioned? Yes. What, okay.
What,
hiya.
What do you think?
I know. She doesn't think so, but it's true, and she will. Don't worry.
Well, she felt that it was necessary to get on my lap right now, and I'm not going to argue.
Yeah. Well,
arguing with cats.
She just wanted to join in.
Right.
Syrians and the Pleiadians.
Give me a little grounding energy here.
Yeah, having 8 claws stuck in your head, in your leg.
Well. So, yeah, when we communicated before, and we said, they had come in kind of unexpectedly a few months ago. And, would you like to hear my knowledge and history of them?
Yes, yes, absolutely.
Okay. Well, let's see, could get complicated or not.
I'm particularly interested in what has been termed the Pleiadian mistake, which they never want to talk about. And it's time.
Yeah,
believe me, it's time.
So
can you speak of the Pleiadian mistake and why they're here?
Well, I think a lot of races are have been interacting with the humans since there was any kind of humanoid intelligence on the Earth, whether it was completely physical at one time or not. But when I first heard from them, it was in a previous life with a fellow I was married to. And we had been going to a meditation group back in Virginia. And I guess two of the participants, two of the women there, would sometimes go into this altered state and start speaking. Sort of a, you know, general kind of spiritual wisdom and encouragement. And one time during the meditation, my ex just kind of nodded off. He wasn't snoring, but he was very deep into just someplace else. And so we asked one of the ladies, "Well, what's going on here?" She said, "Well, they may be preparing him." And I said, "Oh, really? That's pretty exciting. Okay, let's check that out." So at home, we tried it one night. We got into sort of a meditative lower brainwave state of mind. And she would always start with, "We greet you and send our love." And they would respond with, "Oh, no," they would say, "Yes, right. That's what would happen." But I said, "We open our hearts to connect with our highest selves, and we ask that if the Pleiadians would like to communicate through their highest hearts and souls, that we are open." And then they would come through with, "We greet you and send our love." And I know a lot of people have asked, "Well, are you sure it was really the Pleiadians, or how do you know they weren't demons, blah, blah, blah?" Because I know what love feels like. And that's the energy and feeling that would come in. It was just very blissful, very soothing and comforting. And they made it very clear in that first session that they weren't angels. They were not better than us. They were not to be, you know, looked up upon or revered in any way. And I kind of appreciated that humbleness. So, you know, the scribing began. And they would speak, and I would write, and then when my ex would, it would maybe last half an hour, 45 minutes, and then the room would get very warm. I would get very warm. And usually they would stop because my ex would be getting hungry, because he'd always come out of it feeling really ravenous, really hungry. But he wouldn't remember anything. And then I'd want to talk about it right away, right? And he'd go, "Well, can you make me some spaghetti or something right now? Because I'm really, really hungry." I said, "Oh, okay." So anyway, that went on. after we split, I was meditating, going to meditation groups on my own, And I decided, well, that was just in the past. That's nothing, you know. I know I've had my UFO experiences. That's all in the past. That's nothing I need to revisit. Well, not exactly. You don't, can't really, you know, it's like shutting the barn door after the horse escapes. Yeah, it's can't be done. So I said, okay, well, you know, if I'm really serious about self-improvement on all levels, including spiritual, I'm going to have to really integrate all my experiences, including those. So let's take it all seriously. And so I started meditating more. And then, I was getting some other connections, some more angelic connections. But then one day I was listening to somebody I mentioned to you, who was also channeling Pleiadians, and I was listening to her talk on another show. I think it was with Rebecca Jernigan. And I really wanted to hear more. And I got impatient, and so I stopped the program. And this a very familiar feeling came over me of a, I don't want to say heaviness, but sort of like if somebody threw about a dozen down comforters over you. It didn't hurt, but it was sort of like this very fluffy pressure. And my left side of my scalp started tingling. That seems to be my indicator. And I was thinking, oh, so you want to talk now, right now. Okay, well, let me get a piece of paper and pencil. And this is interesting because at the same time I'm thinking, okay, Marianne, did you take all your medication today? What are you doing? It's sounding kind of crazy. But I said, well, let's just go with it, you know. And so I some words came through. The messages came through. I think I shared those with you. So I said, all right. I am ready to reestablish our connection. And any wisdom and guidance and love you can send my way would be greatly appreciated. And I'd be glad to share any wisdom, guidance, and love you would like to share with anyone else. So, one of the things I remembered from 10 years ago when we were getting information about our personal history, our lives, our past lives, and the Earth was when I asked, okay, as humans, where did we start out? Where did we come from? And they said, well, you started out as bacteria. I said, well, that's going back a little too far. I'm not sure.
I remember when we were a culture.
Yeah, Frank, just a spark in your daddy's eye. I wasn't sure I understood what they meant. And they were not that forthcoming, other than they said, you know, we have some karma with you. That's why we are very eager to help. And they didn't go into it much. And I said, okay, but I am a pretty good investigator. I'm going to find out. And during that, and they did, they had information about one of the Atlantean times that my ex and I had been living in. They said our skin was very green. I said, oh, what, green, like reptile green? She said, no, like Irish grass green. I thought, well, that's pretty interesting. So it makes me think, you know, wonder if we were like using like chlorophyll type nutrition from the sun, you know, the sun's energy was different then or something.
Yeah, you have different color of sun, different frequency.
Yeah.
Different receptor.
But my impression of myself during that time was that it was a very blissful time. And but my partner at that time was one of what they called the transmuters. And there was a dozen of them, and they all had a gift of a vocalization. They could all sing. And there was a rose quartz obelisk that was about 3 miles long and a good part of it below the earth. And apparently there was some kind of disc that they sat on that could levitate above the top of this obelisk. And they would all intone a separate note or vibration. And this would start to turn. And it was a type of frequency band of love that would strengthen the Earth's grid. It was also an energy source. And the interesting part of that story was that for whatever reason, I guess the reason that we felt we had to fortify the Earth's grid was there was some element we were trying to keep out. And another very gifted person finished that story for me and explained it wasn't just the Earth's grid that we help strengthen, but also each of the planets in the solar system. And then as a whole solar system, we were trying to fortify ourselves. And I'm sure it'll become more clear later, but let's just say the deterring element, the negative element, got in anyway and kind of hijacked that energy source and had pretty much blackmailed everybody on that frequency team to send out a different frequency which they were going to use as a weapon. And I guess my ex held out, so they kidnapped me. And even though I was killed anyway, I guess they complied. But of course, using a frequency that wasn't intended with that rose quartz obelisk for negative energy resulted in destruction. So that was one of the ends of one of the Atlantises, or at least one of the beginnings of the ends. The only reason I give that background was I said, well, if you know all that, yes, I'd say you probably do have some karma with us. But apparently later, because I've always been interested in studying ancient history and archaeology and ancient cultures, and when I saw these pictures, I have this old book about mythology, but it's kind of scholarly, and they were showing some great pictures of Mesopotamia and earlier of these figures, I guess, that we call the Anunnaki. What do they call them? They call them something else. Anyway, they were showing them standing next to a tree, and they had a little, looked like a little water canister attached to a cord, and they were holding a pine cone, and they were sprinkling water onto this tree. And it dawned on me that that was a symbol for DNA being introduced into this tree of life, and that they were altering or adding something different to this tree of life. And so with reading other people's stuff and looking at some more pictures, it kind of got clear to me that what the Pews were talking about was that when the Anunnaki got here and we had emerged again as this life frequency of intelligence, they were able to get here at such a time to help develop our DNA in the direction they wanted it to go. However, because they aren't in charge of the universe, and others, universal law would not allow them to just, you know, use the Earth's life forms. They had to ask others, and I might have this wrong, I don't know, what do you think? You know, feedback is welcome at this point. To introduce other races' DNA in order to comply with not getting in trouble, I guess. And so when they approached a faction of the Pleiadians, which I think had been part of the Orion group for a while, and then the higher frequency faction went off towards the Pleiadian stars system. Oh, gosh, I've got to close this door.
Okay, go and close the door. I'll cover this one. So we're now talking about the origin of the Orion Wars. Is that right, Mary?
Well, I don't know about that. Others, if they could direct me to that information, it might help me put some pieces together. But apparently there was a dividing off of some of the beings that were part of the Orion star group. And the Pleiadians were part of that, and they flew off to the Pleiades. At what point, I'm not sure. But there was a faction that were kind of, I don't want to say that they were not on the side of the Anunnaki. I think they were kind of seeing the future with rose-colored glasses, because the Anunnaki knew that, you know, they kind of needed a home base. They kind of lost their little frequency connector around the sun, and, you know, they needed to have some kind of home base. That's sort of my impression, anyway. And they knew that the human intelligence, how do I put this, that we were key to everyone's ascension because of being a carbon life form on the Earth's frequency. And so the that's how they presented their sales pitch to the Pleiadians. They said, hey, come on down, be a part of this, get in on the ground floor, add some of your DNA, and these beings are going to make sure that all of us, you know, ascend to a better place. Just wait and see. It'll be great. And they're like, all right, cool, great. So they did. But they weren't the only ones. So they kind of, some of you may remember who it was, Daniken. They found these round black discs in South America with these carved images in it. Anyway, when I saw that was sort of a blueprint for seeding a very basic biological intelligence, say like, you know, like a nematode or flatworm or whatever, and then developing it with DNA insertions to eventually be able to interbreed with higher and higher level species until it became human. So, you know, I know all this probably took billions of years in our time, but out there in space, there is, if you're not a physical being, there is no time, right? So, like, anyway, things progressed, and, but not in the way that the Palladians saw. They didn't see that the Anunnaki were going to start just kind of taking advantage of us, stop our growth at one point, and not really finish the whole deal, kind of arrest our development. And, you know, other things occurred, and I think part of it was that, yeah, we were designed on this earth from earth frequency, and we belonged, but coming from where they did and then living on the earth, that was not their base, that was not their soul frequency, that was not, you know what I'm getting at? So like, it was uncomfortable for them. They had to interbreed to be comfortable here, and I think the taking of that Ormus was part of it too. I think it insulated themselves somewhat from this other frequency that they had to navigate through on Earth. I'm not sure. But anyway, when the Pleiadians saw that, oh, well, things aren't developing quite as we were told, we were kind of sold a lemon off the lot, that they said, okay, well, we're going to have to, you know, up our game and bring in some other beings that can help shine up the better DNA, I guess. You know, enable humans to realize that having consciousness at all at that point gives them that self-awareness and acknowledgement of original creation, that source energy. And I think things did develop in a way on this earth where things were going pretty well for us. And we did have flight easily in commerce with other nations. And, you know, life was good. However, you know, these others, like I said, I think the fact that they were on the earth was so irritating. It was so a different frequency, even though, say, they wanted the gold or whatever, that feeling, that intent, that emotion interfered with their own growth in such a way that, and this is just my theory, I could be totally off base, but they wanted a safe haven where they could not have to mingle with the Earth humans, you know what I mean? Be here, but not deal with the little people. And so, they had sort of a superiority attitude, I think. I really think they kind of came with just sort of a temporary, we're going to do this. But then as their generations, and they lived for a really long time to begin with, but I think as their generations died out, they forgot their own history. And as they interbred, the whole, their whole deal, their whole point of even starting the human race that got lost. And then they got into this entanglement of duality and better than, and less than, and more than, and less than. I don't know. How's that sound so far?
Yeah, well, that sounds pretty good, Mary. We're just about out of time, really. It has been one amazing journey this last 2 hours.
I wish I could have ended it more upbeat way.
No, it's a kind of cliffhanger. Because, please, can you come back?
Sure. Yeah, I want to make this a happy time.
I'll give you space to kind of recoup and sort of wind up that mainspring again, we'll reconvene at a future time.
Perfect.
Do you have a web? Have you got a blog? Have you got a website?
No.
Do you write? Do you?
I am just today looking at putting something together on WordPress. Because I've got these great photographs of consciousness that I've seen in inanimate objects, like rocks and trees and even metal poles. And, I'm working on it. But thanks.
Well, I have someone very, very close to me who sees little beings and everything. Actually, me, I do. I see that when there's an entity in my house, I see little faces in the walls, and in, like, you might see a couple of knots in wood, and suddenly they appear as eyes, and I'm thinking, there's a pair of eyes there, so somebody's. And there's been a little doggy this last week.
Huh.
I've had a little brown dog who there's a vortex here, apparently. It's like, as if I haven't got enough to do with it. I've got a station and a vortex. And actually, I think Dave had a vortex as well, so maybe it's part of the station thing.
Great.
So, and I think, was it you who was saying you live in an apartment block that was built on a...
You're the one that suggested very nicely that it's on a vortex, so I'm hoping it's a nice vortex.
Well, if it's not, you have the power to make it nice, because that's your vortex.
Okay, you'll have to send me over trustee. The hardware for that.
You're the trustee, as it were.
Alrighty, then.
By saying you're, it means that, it's your little basket to sort out.
Okay. Alrighty then. Well, please do send me some tools to help me do that.
Well, I think the best toolkit is Wolf Spirit Radio. This is the toolkit into the unknown. We're your tour guides, your boyfriends, your lovers.
Your fathers, your mothers, your pops, your mothers, your aunties, your second cousins, everything.
That's
wonderful.
That's right. It's all about having a sense of belonging to something that really anyone can belong to, because it's not about belonging, but it's about feeling belonged. So
that's beautiful, wonderful.
In that moment, it's time. Thank you very much, Mary Traeger. We'll see
Thank
more of you.
Rich.
I'll maybe make a page on my website on Ever Beyond for Mary, and we'll keep in touch with her. Okay, thank you very much, Mary.
Wonderful. Love to you all. Thank you. Good night.
Beyond.